Have you got many emails about fireworks?
Just a couple.
Yeah, same night.
A couple, but I want to,
I do want to talk about it tonight. See what, if anything, we can do. Tyler must be giving the prayer.
Yeah, I just heard that from you first. Like, you're not a virgin.
You've been doing this on their anniversary.
You've got to be doing, you're all decked out. Like the tie.
She goes, they were just going to go.
How are you, Kathy? There you go. Steven, how are you, sir? Serves you right. Hey, Steven, what are we going to do about the Stratford Court Hotel sign?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you this evening to a city council meeting. This is June the 25th, 2025, and it is 5:30 p.m. So this meeting is being held at the council chambers, 10 North Main Street. In Cedar City, Utah, we're honored again this evening to have President Tyler Romerl from the Canyon View Stake to lead us in the invocation, after which Mr. Randall McEwen will lead us in the pledge.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to be together this day. We're thankful for the blessed country that we live in, and state and community, for the form of government that we possess so that the people have a voice. We're thankful for how that has guided and directed this country, and we ask you to bless that it will continue to do so in righteous and productive ways. We ask you to bless the leaders of our community, of our state, and of our country as they make decisions that affect others, that they can do so with thy wisdom, with the knowledge that they need to know the best course of action to undergo. We are thankful for the opportunity to have the to have those in our community that serve us. We ask you to bless them with safety and protection as they go about their general duties that they perform. We ask you to bless this country or this county right now with water, that we can receive the rain necessary to quell this drought and to help with the wildfires. Bless those that are actively working to end them. We're thankful, Father, for everything that we have. We ask you to bless that thy guiding hand will accompany this meeting, and we do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Please repeat with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, President Randall. Mr. Phillips, before we approve the agenda, I would like to ask item number 13 to be moved up to, I suspect, just before 6.
Okay. Any problems with that? Anybody sees? Okay. Well, Mayor, I would move that we approve this action meeting for June 25th, noting that item 13 be moved to just before item 6 on the agenda.
Second.
I have motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous.
I think it's the screen, though. Isn't there another button on the screen?
I don't have any business this evening. Council, do you have matters of business?
Mayor, I have just two or three things. President Romerl touched upon it, but it's been the fire in Pine Valley, the Forsyth Fire, has broken out since our last meeting, and I just want, as he said, our prayers and blessings go out to everyone because it's a devastating fire, and it's very dear and near to me. We've been going to that area as a family for over 75 years, and we just got word that our whole trip's been canceled. Nothing's happening there until September. So I just want to pray for all those good folks out there and the firefighters doing the work. And also, I want to know, I know we're not through with the Industrial Road project yet, but we're drawing near on the federal portion of that first phase, I guess you call it. So I know we aren't quite complete, but I've had several neighbors reach out to me, and we have, because we've opened up roads there, large trucks are going up and down residential neighborhoods, particularly 600 West. Two different firms have been pointed out to me that are going towards the KB Express area to park or to refuel or something. I'm just wondering if we can encourage them to either use Airport Road or use 800 or something. There are concerns, especially when school starts, because North Elementary is right there.
But they've been running up and down that for about 4 years.
Well, not on 600 because
yes,
it was closed.
No.
It was closed.
No, they wanted to go to the tracks.
No, no. 600 has been run clear through for almost 4 years.
Well, okay.
They've been running on there for that long.
All right.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's been at
least. Oh, when you mean when the cutout was made with the dirt
yes.
roads and stuff like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
they've
I would imagine. Oh.
Left for that long.
And I would imagine, Councilman Phillips, part of the reason why they probably feel it more now is because 800 West. That was the last road to reopen, and 600 was the detour. That's where the
right.
actual detour signs told you to go was 600.
Yeah,
so.
And the convenience of Industrial Road all the way along
mm-hmm.
and the opening of 800 West, I'll bet you that cools down quite a bit.
It probably will. I just bring it up because they're concerned about when school starts, so I just wanted us to sort of make note of that and see what we can do to assist that. And then finally, Mayor, I know this is an annual discussion we have, and I certainly don't want to be the person to squelch a celebration because, you know, I like a good party. I just want to make sure that we're being sensitive about fireworks with all of the drought that we are in and with the fires that are near us. We've had a few citizens reach out to us. And so I'd like to really know, maybe, Chief, if you could come up and share with us some of the proactive things we're trying to do to make sure that it is a safe holiday within the confines of law, state law, statute.
Sure, happy to. Mayor and Council, Mike Schertz with the Fire Department. So, again, this year we're in the midst of fire season and we have smoke in the air, so people tend to get a little bit worried. We currently have an ordinance that we follow state law, and Randall just revised some of that language and appreciate his efforts on that. As always, we have some recommended discharge locations for the 4th and the 24th celebrations. Those are the south parking lot of Cedar High, the Bicentennial Softball Park, Canyon View High, the Aquatic Center, Iron Springs Elementary. We provide dumpsters at those locations so we can take care of the waste and the mess. And that's what we can do unless and maybe you'll ask me about if we want to
well yeah I'm gonna
go deeper into that.
I've been exploring this notion a little bit with Chief Phillips, just trying to figure out. I've had several citizens reach out because they enjoy the fireworks, they want to try and see them and experience them.
Sure.
And currently now around the airport it is parallel parking.
Sure.
And a lot of people bring large vehicles and trailers and overnight campers and everything else.
Yep.
I'm just wondering if there was anything we could do to maybe accommodate to try and get more vehicles parked, maybe either, you know, straight on to witness them rather than. I know that might involve road closure. So that's,
sure.
I'm just exploring this idea is all it is.
Sure. Go ahead.
Sorry. I think they've actually filled in that borrow pit since last year, and it'll be more conducive to straight-in parking along Lund Highway.
They have filled
because
it
they,
in.
Yeah, they,
yeah,
they,
along Lund.
They, and before they would just park parallel. I think now they can probably nose in and get a lot more vehicles, not where you're suggesting, but it could get
right.
more somewhere.
That's great. No, that's exactly the thing. I was just trying to see if we could accommodate.
Yeah, and so we do encourage people to come out there and watch the professional show, perhaps even in lieu of their own celebrations and doing stuff in the neighborhoods. That's where we typically have the problems is with the small stuff in the neighborhoods, and
yeah.
so we have to run around and chase those. So we do want to encourage people to come out and view that show that the city pays for. It's a great show, and we like doing it. If we could get some more people parked out there, that would be good. It is a little bit of a challenge to get parked and then especially to get out of there after the show. So if we
sure.
could do something along those lines, I think we would support that. In discussing some of those options, there may be some serious logistical challenges with the actual act of parking people down along 1600. I think we could close the road, but getting them parked might be.
Yeah, one of the things I suggested, just so you know, is maybe closing 1600 at Lund and up at 2300 and just
that's what I was
and
just
then
about
park
to say.
People straight on. But yeah. They're concerned about the logistics of just getting the personnel there to guide it.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, because you could close it at 1600, send everybody up to 2400, and have them do the loop, and then just come back towards 1600. Because mm-hmm. Because as somebody who, as Councilman Phillips put it, parks trucks and trailers there every year, which I'm one of them.
You're one of those people.
I am one. But I take a lot of people with me. So.
Oh, okay.
You know. But, I mean, I've been there every year for the last 7 years, and there's no way you could do that road. There's just not enough room on the sides. In order to do straight on both sides of the road, you'd have to be one way. You couldn't still be able to move traffic both directions in between, I don't think.
One more thing, yeah, Chief, please. Real quick. So, and the other thing is we have to still be able to get somewhat in and out of there.
In case of an emergency.
We preposition our trucks and resources out away from the west station, that area, before the fireworks start. But we still do need to be able to still move.
So close it maybe after the station.
Well,
so that way you guys could easily.
Yeah,
but they need to go both ways, possibly, instead of all the way around. Right?
Good evening. Darren Adams with the Police Department. So I talked to Councilman Phillips briefly about this and took Lieutenant Pollock out there today. There are some inherent challenges there, specifically on 1600 North, where the space off the roadway, both north and south, is limited. A lot of sagebrush. You're limited by sagebrush on the north, fence on the south. I've been out there in the last 3 years during that time just to observe, and it does appear that most people self-govern, maybe not terribly well, but they tend to get in and out. The question then remains is how many are in and out of there? And we've never counted to know how much more we can get in there. From Lund Highway to the turn to the bend on 1600 is 0.7 miles. So if you take a truck that's 20 feet long and give yourself 5 feet end to end and park them parallel, we figured you're about 184 vehicles on both sides. The challenge then becomes is how do we close and then get enough personnel to park people? You know, you see Diamond Z and some of these other venues where you have 10 or 12 VIPs or Iron County Posses that park vehicles and you have to really be close. That may be a challenge to just park people and then to get them out is my only concern.
Did you look at Lund to see if it was possible? Because I know they redid that and filled that borough pit.
No, we didn't look at Lund. We were just focused on
six. Because I would and I guess I have a question before I have a comment, is what's been the reach of your social media? Has that been pretty good? I've seen some good response, not that I'm on there a ton, but.
So the one that went out, as you know, was recorded last year, and they replayed that. I haven't looked at the likes this year, but last year there were quite a few.
Well, you've had some posts not related to this year, like the for sale signs and the and that has pretty good reach, doesn't it?
The reach is quite broad. We have about 14,000 followers on our page.
And so what I'm suggesting is not only do we, if we go look at Lund and see if the parking is conducive to nosing in, suggesting that we do that, and then just say, due to the fire hazard, we really, really, really are going to be watching this close, and you can. Here's the places, and please don't. I mean, don't be, you know.
Yeah.
That was my question. Chief Schertz had said recommended locations, but what exactly does the ordinance say? And I apologize for not knowing it, but what does...
It says all classifications of fireworks that are permitted by state law may be used at times prescribed by state law. So to speak on that just a little bit, and we talked about this last year, and I don't want to take too much time, but written into the amendments that the legislature does to fire code, which is state law related to fireworks, there are some very well-defined strict rules that we would have to follow if we want to more than discourage the
outlaw.
Discharge of fireworks.
If we wanted to ban them.
If we wanted to
outlaw
ban them,
would be
and we would have to start that early. That has to be done by the 1st of May to be in compliance with state law. We have to define an area. It has to be a historical hazard. We have to map it. We have to provide language to the county. They have to post that. The state fire marshal's office posts it. So we've not done that in the past. If that's something that the council would like us to pursue, we'd need to probably start working on it after the 4th this year and have it ready.
And we have to have a study to see the feasibility of banning them. So we get it. Let's have a non-governmental entity reach out and say, don't be dumb. Don't do fireworks except for these locations.
That's why we say that we strongly recommend that people enjoy the 4th and discharge their fireworks at the locations where there's a nice big asphalt parking lot. And at least then we can concentrate the fires that we have in seven or eight locations rather than
every year,
everywhere.
I guess every my question year. Is, does, would it be that happens. Same process to ban them other than those locations? Like, would it be possible to say, here are designated locations, you can do them, everywhere else is banned? Is it the same process?
Yes, we would have to go through the same process in state law, and they would have to be based on some historical hazard that has existed in two of the last 5 years. There's a number of rules that the state put in place.
One of the challenges with that we need to keep in mind too is if we do that in future years, to keep in mind that, again, if we're telling people well within the city and near the city it's a bad idea, well then they go farther out into the middle of nowhere where it's harder to get fire apparatus. So that's, we don't get to choose.
Well, the county even has different laws.
It's much more difficult within a municipality to ban fireworks than it is in the unincorporated areas. The unincorporated area of the county already bans fireworks.
It's already banned in the county.
Federal lands, they're banned completely. But they've made it more difficult legislatively for us to do that as a municipality, and it has to be done legislatively.
In part it's because they want people to light the fireworks where there's a fire department
and hoses and houses, things that
and it's big business.
There was a thing on the news that said one man's going to make $100,000 selling fireworks between now and July 24th.
Is that bringing from Nevada or from Idaho?
And Chief, I mean, realistically, I mean, in the past years, I mean, we have fires every year. You guys go and put out, whether it be a tree or a dumpster or a few things like that. But I mean, up until now, historically, the last few years, you guys have, I mean, we've been okay.
It's busy, but I think things get handled, and we have some partners that come in and help us. A lot of those federal resources aren't available this year, so we may be just us on our own, but historically, yes, we've been able to handle the 4th of July fairly well and not have any real major incidences. In fact, I might just say in conclusion and then sit down, we would just really encourage people when they do use the dumpsters that we provide, if use the dumpsters, but
make sure they're out.
Take care of your own mess a little bit and make sure they're out. But we put them in the dumpsters, and then we plan on putting the dumpster fires out. So.
Well, I know that... In the mayor's newsletter, we always talk about fireworks safety and things of that nature, but I would urge us maybe through social media to do a little extra punch this year because it is so dry out there, and everyone has fire on their mind right now.
Sure, and I think those are the best times to ask people to be cautious when things are going on. So,
thank you.
So, Chief Schertz, I just want to mention one thing because, I mean, I'm as big a fireworks person as they are. I love to shoot them off at my house. The last 2 years,
Shame on you.
I know. But I haven't been caught yet. But the last 2 years, we have gone to Bicentennial and shot them off with a bunch of grandkids. And the thing that I found is it was actually a little more fun because there was a lot of people who had a lot of different fireworks than what we had.
Right.
That actually made it.
You get your mini show.
You do. But my grandkids, which... Kids, the only reason we have the kids is for the grandkids, really. But my grandkids thought it was great because they got to see things that we didn't have. So I would just encourage, and like I say, I'm as big a person that we should be able to shoot them where we want.
And I think if people will be responsible and safe and follow the published guidelines, then they can be really safe, fun, great celebrations. And I've experienced that, too, where it's quite a show at the parking lots. So.
There was last year, there had to been 250 people there, and each one of them had something different. So
I used to like fireworks until I became a fireman, like, 25 years
ago.
I made black powder bombs when I was a kid.
Yeah, I did, too.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure we could all incriminate ourselves pretty bad right now.
Other council members? Matters?
Mm-mm. Let's move on. Sorry.
Well, I just have one quick question. Where are we at on our impact study?
I had an email from him today. He should have a rough draft. They have the information from us. They need to put it in their models. He wants to have a rough draft to us. He asked for meeting times on the 8th and 9th of July with staff so we can go over a rough draft.
Okay.
Thank you. Staff?
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Council, Mayor, and staff. I just wanted to, if you hadn't seen it
your
today, I just wanted to introduce
Kenny Nielsen. Kenny, you got to say your name, dude.
Oh, sorry. Ken Nielsen, Leisure Services.
I did see that today.
Tee times that we have discussed in the past, budget meetings this year, they're ready to go in Jared's world. So July 1st will be the beginning of tee times. He's put out all the media sources that we have, both Gabby and our own Leisure Services. We've spread it out around to Facebooks and word of mouth and all those things. So,
and his golf association and those kinds of things.
Ladies and men's association, and he's putting it on the golf carts themselves and, of course, all over the clubhouse. So we're trying to get all the word out. But at July 1st at 7 a.m., if you want to start booking tee times, it's going to be available. It'll take you right to the site. Both Paul and I have looked at the site. It's really easy to navigate. I don't think you can get lost right in front of you. It's book a tee time, and it's really simple. Every golf course that we know of does it, so it's not like we're starting
to reinvent the wheel here.
So we're excited about it. We think it'll work well. If you have questions, please refer them to the city website or to the Leisure Services website, and then get all the information.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Mayor, I just had one follow-up. That was on that drain, and maybe Mr. Marshall can speak to it on the Cove Heights drive, the root in the drain. We brought it up last time, and I don't know if it got relayed to you.
It did. They know about it. Eric said he was going to go take care of it.
Okay, perfect. All right, thank you. I just keep getting – I just want to give feedback.
Mm-hmm. Give feedback. Yes, I hear you. No, that's good.
So, again, Mike Schertz with the fire department. Just to make the council and the public aware, so some of you may know that we deployed some firefighters back in January to the fires in L.A. County down to Palisades. Excuse me. And Disneyland Resorts had reached out just recently, wanted to do some recognition and some appreciation for those folks that had responded down there. So we had a crew of four firefighters that went down there on a deployment, and so Disneyland has offered a free ticket to them and their guest. And so I just wanted to make the council and the public aware.
How about the people that gave the approval for the deployment? Did they get them as well?
You can have my ticket. It's not the happiest place on earth for me.
Not me either.
So the biggest reason to do this is we all are subject to the state's ethics rules.
Correct.
Last time I checked, Disneyland tickets far exceed $50 in value, especially if you get two of them. So there is an exception in the ethics rules. If you do a public recognition of public service, that's an exception to the ethics rules. So we're just trying to be above board with these gentlemen receiving this.
Full disclosure.
Now it's public, so we're good, right?
Yeah.
And perfect.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
A couple more follow-ups. Last week, you guys brought up some issues behind Bradshaw Chevrolet. The police department has been in contact with them. They've promised to have it cleaned up in two weeks. Cove Heights issue, as well as the 300 West College Ave storm drain issues, have been referred to Public Works. And I talked to the school district about cleaning up the backside of East Elementary as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Public comments? Tonight, seeing none. The consent agenda, item number one, approval of minutes dated June 4th and the 11th, 2025. Item number two, approval of bills dated June 20th, 2025. Item number three, approve of vesting extension agreement for Iron Crest Phase 3. Item number four, approve the bid for Mike's Drilling, LLC, in the amount of $604,000. And I don't know that it's 008 and some cents or something.
Extra zero in there somewhere?
Extra zero, probably an extra eight, actually, for the Martin's Flat Test Well Drilling Project. Item number five, approve granting a power easement for Rocky Mountain Power on the city's property at 7218 North, 2300 West.
Mayor, I would move that we approve the consent agenda. I do have one question on the bills, and it's really just a simple question. I see a rather large expenditure there to Larson Construction. I'm assuming it's for the Public Works building. Have they started on that project, Ryan?
The only thing we've hired them for, I believe, right?
Ryan Marshall, Public Works Director. They've ordered the material. They're going to be starting the inside wall so that they can break open the siding probably next week.
Okay.
And then the glass and all of the stucco will start in 2 weeks.
Great. Thank you. So I would move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So item number 13 now. So I was informed that we had a little bit of a dilemma trying to get enough vote for our wrap tax for the parks and recreation side of it. And so I'm making some sort of advance in a hurry, and you'll have to tell me how this is going to work. I'd like to release tonight Len Battister and Larry Reese from that board, wrap tax board for parks and recreation. Yeah. And I'm proposing that we approve Frank Davis and Robert Lundskog. Now, is Robert here?
He is.
I thought you might be. Come up, Robert. I don't see Frank. Good. So, oh, thank you. I didn't know you, but now I do. We probably have met somewhere. I think I've met everybody in town at some point.
I watched you as a judge on Cedar's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But they remembered me, but I don't remember everybody in the audience.
Oh, I was one of the 400 sitting behind you.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Good job. Anyway, tell us, this is your chance to say something, and then we'll...
Well, I don't have anything profound to say. I'm a recent resident of Cedar City. I moved up from Hurricane. I retired to Hurricane because I wanted to golf year-round. And get out
you
of the
could
snow.
Have last year here. We didn't have a problem with it a year ago.
I know, but I happened to have been working at Sky Mountain at the time, and it was easier to play down there than up here. Anyway, I reside over on Cove Drive and neighbors with Ron Riddle, and he called me up the other day and asked me if I wanted to exercise my civic duty, and I told him yes after he explained what it involved, and so I'm happy to serve.
Great.
Thank you.
Pretty simple and fun to do. Thank you very much for your willingness.
We'll see you tomorrow.
And
1 o'clock.
I think they're trying.
So do we need to move those names forward for a recommendation?
Yeah.
If you would.
I would move that we appoint to the RapTax Parks and Recreation Board the two gentlemen mentioned, Frank and Robert, correct? I'm sorry I didn't get the last names.
Frank Davis and Robert Lundskog? Yes.
That would be my motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. You have a job, and I guess it's tomorrow. Okay, good. We want to get that vote done and be done, have that move forward. Thank you very much. Now, item number 6 is next. Consider a cooperative access agreement, management agreement with UDOT.
Mayor, I would just mention on this, nothing has changed on this since our discussion last week. But if there are any questions that the council has, I'd be happy to try to answer those.
My only question is, this is just really a blueprint, correct? I mean, things could adjust and change, and we may not have an intersection on there even listed now. But in 5 years, we could go, oh, my gosh. And I don't want us to restrict that. This is just sort of a master plan to go by.
That, right. For something like, you know, a signalized intersection at a location that's not on the list, that would be a modification to this agreement. But that is certainly something that could be proposed for UDOT to evaluate.
Okay.
And we still have to approve the detail, to your point, right? So yeah. Once they come out with the detailed plan.
Great.
I'd move that we accept the cooperative access management agreement with UDOT.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Unanimous. Item number 7, consider an ordinance vacating easements for drainage, construction, and public trail located approximately 789 Cross Hollows Road.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. Tim Watson with Watson Engineering. I guess you could consider me one of your local dumpster fires, but I'm not quite sure if that really works.
We're not talking about personalities here.
Okay, all right. Whew, thank you.
We would like to see the chief hose you down with a big old fire hose.
That would be great, cool. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would.
That would be great. We could definitely figure something out for that. Anyway.
I'd charge for it. If I were you, I'd charge. Contribute it to some charity.
Something like that,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Yep.
Okay, all right. Well, again, we're vacating a couple of easements and putting in place some new easements for pedestrian and drainage in the Cross Hollow Road and Cedar City Pond, Cross Hollow Pond area. Have there been any other questions or comments that have come up from our discussion last week?
If anything, you at least get credit for having the most confusing easement picture I've ever seen. So
I like the color code.
I like the color coding.
Wow.
So if you go and walk.
What do you do for? Never mind.
Staff, you don't have any issues with you, do you? I mean, I think in the long run, this might be a better thing for us.
No, we're good with what is proposed here.
Yeah. I would move that we approve the ordinance vacating easements for drainage, construction, and public trail located at approximately 789 Cross Hollows Road with the stipulations as outlined and presented.
Second.
I have a motion second, starting with Mr. Phillips.
Aye.
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 Thank you. It's unanimous.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Item number 8, consider an ordinance amending section 26-1-4. That might be an I. Mm-hmm. And 32-8 and engineering standard detail 4.6.1 pertaining to the definition of a site obscuring fence and other fencing requirements.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council, Don Boudreau, Engineering Division. Nothing's really changed. I do have one suggestion for the City Council to consider. When you look at the definition here, obviously it's wide open. It talks about composite, chain link, vinyl, et cetera, and then it says et cetera at the end. In my opinion, that opens it up for any fencing at all.
And it could be old pallets, for crying out loud.
It could be pallets. It could be shag carpet. It could be anything.
old denim Levi's.
So do we change et cetera to or others as?
Or just drop it.
Yeah, so I have two thoughts for your consideration. I would suggest language in lieu of et cetera, or other materials designed and manufactured for fencing purposes. At least that keeps us in the realm.
That was what I was going to suggest.
Something that is like fencing.
Yeah, exactly.
So are we intentionally omitting, not the people who would do this today because it's expensive, but metal fence? I mean, there's some nice metal fencing, and that would not fit in that definition. If that were restricted, I don't know if that's economically feasible right now, but that is something that could be at some point.
It would be hot.
I mean, I've seen some nice corrugated stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably where you're at.
Yeah.
I've also seen garage doors used.
But I've seen some really cool forged.
There's a big gap, I think, between those.
Well, I think under what he's suggesting, that would cover it. I mean, if it's meant to be a fence, that would be pretty.
Yeah, and there's probably a little subjectivity there, but I think that helps us with the more extreme things that you may see proposed.
Because the other option would be, and I'm not suggesting this necessarily, but if we got rid of the et cetera, we could also go somehow else approved by council, right? And then somebody would have to bring forward what they wanted to do if it was outside of one of
these. I'm not sure that should come to us necessarily.
I think if push came to shove, someone could appeal our...
They could appeal it anyways.
They could appeal our decision to the Board of Adjustments.
Right? Let's make something that works, not something we have to make an exception to. Yeah. That's my point with the metal, wrought iron, corrugated. There's some pretty stuff out there that could
there is,
be
and there's always something new. But at least I think this would give us a little control.
I think.
Could you say that one more time, what you're suggesting?
Just to remove the et cetera.
Or other materials designed and manufactured for fencing purposes.
I'm fine with that.
So that would capture it then.
That would capture your metal situation.
And then my only other thought, and this is more of an opinion, this does open it up for chain link with slats. In section 32, when we have double fronted lots in a subdivision, along a long piece of stretch of roadway, we do require a side obscuring fence. We may want to consider
in my opinion, chain link with slats may not be what you want to see for long stretches of your master plan roads. And that is an aesthetic opinion. So,
no,
I leave that to the council.
I mean, I guess I would have to agree with you on that from purely a sort of aesthetic standpoint. I'm not sure how we would word that, because in smaller instances it would be probably just fine on some other issues, in some development for a side yard or a back thing of a subdivision, but you're right, on a double-fronted lot that could be a real issue.
Yeah, I'd ask you to think about the PUD out there by off Cross Hollow, which looks very nice. You have the block wall along Black Sage now, south into town. You could certainly see some other materials that may not look nearly as nice as what you see now.
Yeah, but the block wall is such a
cold
higher price. I don't want to restrict an option that makes housing more affordable. Anyway,
well,
it does look nice. I get it, but it's also very, very expensive.
Oh yeah, you know, and then going to like industrial zone, that would probably be the option that you would, you know, like that would. So it's hard to say. Well, in some areas it's okay, in some areas
I think in Port 15 it'd look just great.
Exactly. So that's why I worry with us. So
I think it's good where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, if it becomes a crazy issue, we can always.
It does. And I know where council's coming from, and I am not a fan of chain link, and but I understand the economics of it. Certainly.
What would be the? Does anybody have any idea? What's the cost difference on chain link with inserted slats compared to just doing vinyl?
Mr. Melling, can you help?
Mr. Melling, I can't imagine it's much of.
Tyler Melling with Cottonwood Hollow LLC, the proponent of this ordinance change. So factory inserted slat chain link is the same price. It's within about 5% of masonry.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's.
So it's definitely more than vinyl.
It's a lot more than vinyl, about twice. Now granted, you know, you never know what'll happen in
market shift
with market. But I would also point to not factory inserted slats, just aftermarket slats, Three Fountains. It's great. Great place to live, great place to be, looks great. And it's surrounded by chain link with slats.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for 40 years.
Yeah, and it has great setbacks and great vegetation, which really helps enhance all of that.
Yeah, it's amazing what the private sector can do when their hands aren't tied.
I'm just not a proponent of government enforcing aesthetics.
Exactly, I'm not either.
Very much. I mean, somewhat, yes.
Super tough. Yeah.
Because what's cute now is not cute 10 years from now. And so we just need to make something functional.
But as the proponent, you know, Mr. Boudreaux did run that language by us as far as the... you know, the qualifier that it would be materials made for fencing, we have no objection to that. That's totally fine.
Yeah, and I think that kind of covers it all.
Okay, well, if you guys are okay with it, then I would move that we approve the ordinance amending sections 26-1-4 or I-4 and 32-8 and engineering standards details 4.6.1 pertaining to the definition of a site obscuring fence and other fencing requirements, including the change that was brought to us tonight, removing et cetera and changing it to the verbiage that was given by our city planner.
Can I add one more thing, or at least request that you add one more thing? We discussed last week in the engineering standards just to take out the other details and just refer back to the ordinance. I don't have access to those standards, so you didn't get that in your packets this week. Can that be included in your motion that in 4-6.1, that it just refers back to this fencing allowed by ordinance?
Remove the definition, refer it to the definition in the other section.
Yes.
Yes, so amending that motion would also be to go ahead and remove, or to, in engineering standards detail 4.6.1, to change the verbiage to just refer back to this section. Does that work?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Second.
I have a motion, a second, starting with Mr. Riddle.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 9, back to work, Mr. Melling. Item number 9, consider a vesting extension agreement for Fort Cedar Phase 4.
Good evening, Council. Eric Heaton representing Fort Cedar Development.
requesting a vesting extension for the Fort Cedar Phase 4 development that was approved January of 2023. Was finished in November of 24. We just didn't get in to get it platted in time to meet the requirements for the extent for the 2 year. Had we known, we would have done that, but we didn't, and that's why we're here requesting that extension. Improvements have been completed, as we discussed before, and it's ready to go.
And what do you estimate your timeline be for completion, build out?
So it's, yeah, it's already completed, so we just need to plat it.
Okay, so yeah. We're on the final step then.
Yeah, everything's been done, everything's completed, again, in November. Now, you know, the reason we didn't, I mean, we should have platted it in November. We had the sewer, the water, the road, the gutter, the curb and gutter, and the road completed. That's what the city's is interested in. And if had we platted it then, we could have just posted our warranty and went on our way. We had a few things to do with the power, but that's not really relevant to what the city cares about. But so we waited on that. And then by the time we went to plat it, our extension expired. So now we're aware of that. We will try to avoid that in the future, but that's the issue.
So what are we looking at for the extension time period?
Enough time to...
It's a year. June 25th to 26th, right? Isn't that what it says?
Is that what it says?
Number two?
We won't need that long, but yeah.
That's the wording, but you can change that date.
Okay. Yeah. You could do it less, whatever.
Before we get to a vote, I had kind of some thoughts on this that I wanted to share and make public. And so I am a supporter of the ordinance change that we did have that essentially to not allow these types of situations where the road improvements don't get finished. And so, you know, it would... Going off of that, it would make sense that I would not vote in favor of this extension. But what I do want to make known is the one situation that's different here, what makes this one different, is that I personally would actually like to change that from being a master planned road to us to look at different things like an access road. And those are different discussions for a different day. And so that's the one kicker where I do feel okay granting this vesting extension, where it's not going to require that those improvements be done. Because in this situation, if it was a different road and it was a road that I think we did need the master planned, you know, we did need a master planned road on, I would feel very different about this. But where I think that's really the discussion we need to have, I'm actually okay with it for that reason.
I agree, and thank you.
Mr. Heaton, do you think this could be done by December 31st of 2025?
Yes.
Because then it could match another one we're looking at.
Yeah, I think that's if you would do that, I would appreciate that also.
Yeah.
And I agree with Councilman Wilkie here. I've drove down there, and I drove down there just recently.
It's an access road.
Well, I would like to see how we're ever going to get a road from there.
We'll end up through that.
I don't know how we're actually, we're going to have, if we ever try as the city to do that, I don't know if all those property owners down there will deed property to us. Other things that we have to do, I'm not in favor of.
And if you even look at the building there, this existing building of the old Coke plant, back behind the old Coke plant, it's pretty close to the road. I don't even know if you'll be
may not
have enough,
but
enough
from
space.
There north,
yeah,
I don't know how we would ever get all the property down through there to get that. So I feel the same way. I feel that we can give this extension. So that's my feeling.
Thank you.
Yep, I would echo those comments and all the same reasons why Mr. Wilkie, you know, I would add that, again, this is an industrial area, too. It's not residential, and I think we need to look at alternative access policies that reduce the burden on our master plan roads and not rely solely on them.
So with that, Mr. Heaton, I would move that we approve a vesting extension agreement for Fort Cedar Post Phase 4 through December 31st of 2025.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I think that was unanimous. Item number 10.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Consider vesting extension agreement for Fiddler's Canyon Hills
phase 4 through 10.
Steve Kamalowski, Brown Consulting Engineers.
Welcome back.
Thank you. We just want to propose an extension to our vesting agreement for the Fiddler's Canyon Hills subdivision that, in order to get through all the phases we have planned, that the development doesn't expire for 2 years in between subdivision phases, so that from the time when the last subdivision phase is recorded, we have 2 years to record another phase. Otherwise, it expires.
So one question I have on that, and that'd be number three here. So does that 2 years for four start now, or are we going 2 years from when you did the last one?
So it would start from our last recorded subdivision plat, which we recorded phase two, I believe, in March of this year.
Okay, so it'd be pretty much 2 years from...
So it'd be 2 years from that date.
So about 18 months from now, give or take.
Well, if you notice the way I wrote it, four and five are in. Like those applications,
the applications
are in. So under paragraph two, they're just in for four and five. So as long as they continue forward with the normal process and they don't get completely rejected,
okay,
they will just be in. You don't need to worry about those time frames for those.
And then 2 years from five's completion to six.
Correct. That's the way I drafted it, so hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, at that time they have to do the future modeling.
And so, so the understanding
here is... Or again, if four and five don't make it through, like they get rejected and you don't fix it in those cycles that we have, then at that point, modeling again would be required. We're expecting them to make it through. They usually do.
Yeah. Sure.
But just know I put that in there.
And then this, where are we at on the total length, the total timeline? We've struck that.
Well, yes. We know there's five. We removed that language.
So it will be no longer than 10 years, right? Or four phases.
Kind of. There can be some additional delays in there. Think of our process to work through a phase. They can take 20 days for our process, and then they might kick back some responses. So you could still have a month or two extra. But, 10 years is effectively what you're looking at as the max.
And I do want to offer my apologies. I went up there, and the sidewalk and curb and gutter are all in. I checked it out, and it's there, as you indicated. So
I'd make a motion that we accept the vesting extension agreement for Fiddler's Canyon Hills phases 4 through 10 as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 11, consider resolution for the revision of the 2024 and 2025 fiscal year budget.
Anything changed?
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. There has been no changes from last week. Does the council have any other considerations or questions?
Just wondering if we have a money printer. Nothing for that in the budget this year.
Did you bring one of those with you from the state you left?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
They don't have any money.
They're out of money, more than we are.
Well, this is the 25th of June, so if there's any changes, we've only got about 5 or 6 days to get it done. 5 days.
I don't think we have any.
Hopefully you left everything else in the state you left.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I would move that we approve a resolution for the revision of the 24-25 fiscal year budget as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second, starting with Mr. Cox.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 12, consider resolution approving the certified tax rate.
This just gets me.
We're approving a tax rate
that we had nothing to do with.
Yeah, well.
It is handed to us and said this is it.
We're lowering taxes for the 18th year in a row. This is great.
Yep. No, it's good.
But the tax assessment remains the same.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
For this mill levy deal.
Yep.
Don't ruin it with facts. That's...
So the proposed certified tax rate is 0.001583, and this is not a new tax or an increase, and it's just our standard property tax assessment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to go make a motion. Hold on. I move that we approve the resolution approving the certified tax rate as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second, starting with Mr. Wilkie.
Aye.
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 It's approved. Item number 13 was earlier.
Get us out of here, Councilor Phillips.
Mayor, I would move that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.